Glory be to God forever. Well, if you turn with me, we'll get started on this. We've been talking about destroying the works of the devil. There is no work of the devil that should exist in your life, period. If you're a believer, come on. You've been bought and paid with a price. Part of the price was the blood, right? Your body's bought with a price, so you should have no sickness in your body. Sin was paid for already, right? Was paid for. So should you walk around with sin in your life?
Well, just a little bit. Everybody sins a little bit.
Stop it. No, not if you've been bought and paid for. You are not your own anymore. People don't tell that to people when they get born again. Read the fine print. It's like on those drug ads on TV. Sure, you'll take this. It'll get rid of your eyeball ache. But it'll probably make you puke. You'll have diarrhea for a week straight. And your legs will twitch. Those are the side effects. But at least your eyeball won't ache anymore. Thank God for that. Read the fine print. And it's not paid for by your, you know, insurance. Don't get me started on that. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. So if you're there, Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. And we're going to pray before we read it. You all right with that? Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your holy, precious, written word. We enter into your word this morning with reverence and fear. We hear your words with the ears of our spirit. We are open to your word. We obey your word. We love your word. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. And it's changing us even now into your image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord and Holy Ghost, I ask your help, presence this morning. Let us all be anointed that we may hear and see and know who you are and your will in the earth today. Hallelujah. All the glory belongs to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered in the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Shame on Adam. How did death enter into the world? What happens if you get really sick? You die, right? You don't have to. You can just get to the, you know, until you're done. You've had enough. You had all the years you want. You're old. You've done everything you're called to do. You could just go. Right? You don't have to die sick. Well, everybody dies sick. No, they don't. Some just leave. That's the way you should plan on. Everybody say, I'm not going to die sick. I'm going to die when I've finished my course. And I've done everything I'm supposed to do. Then I'll just leave. You get that in your head, well, what sickness is going to come on you? No, I'm not taking that. It's not mine. Right? I'm not done with my course yet. Got more hurdles to jump and tunnels to run through, or like an obstacle course. Right? Hallelujah. One man, sin entered into the world, and death came by what? Death came by sin. So, do we see the door here that all the junk came through? Yeah. What did it come through? Sin. The original sin or other sin. Maybe you sinned and let the door open. But you didn't have to because sin was already in the world, right? And all death came into the world through that one door. With all the rats and all the gargoyles and everything else that comes through with it. That's where sickness came in. That's where poverty came in. It's all the result of sin. Well, that's not good news, brother. What are you saying to me? I came to hear the good news. Well, it is. Just hang on. But you got to know where it came from first. Because if you have all these questions that it might have come from some other way, from some other source, maybe God sent it on you to teach you a lesson, sister. Maybe God gave you malaria so you could stay in your bed for 3 weeks and sweat it out. So he could speak to you when you're in dreamland bordering on death. You know, he has an easy time speaking to people there. Maybe that's why malaria came into the world. No, this is Bible, people. One man's sin entered the world. Death came by sin. I realize that's the abbreviated verse, but that's why I'm picking on it right now. You want me to stand up here and read the whole Old Testament? We'd be here all day long. Describing this one verse, let's encapsulate it so we can go on to the next. We have to see where and how the enemy functions before we can destroy him. We've talked about already destroying sin in our life, right? Let's kill it. Let's get rid of it. Why? Because it's another door that leaves the door open. You get something out of somebody's life and they leave the same door open and it comes back in again, right? Get delivered from alcohol and you go back into the bar and you drink three more things of whatever, liters of something. Guess what? You've fallen off the wagon again. Or on the wagon, I don't know. Is it off or on? Either way, stay away from the wagon. That would be the trick. Shut the door, leave it closed. Hallelujah. For by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. Go with me to 1 John 3:8. Do you know the Bible is truth? It is truth. It doesn't contain truth. It is the truth. And you only don't think it's the truth or portions of it aren't the truth because you're not seeing it straight. Your mind is all clouded. You can't see it. Well, keep looking at it. Keep looking at it. Pretty soon it'll shine right through. Burn holes in the back of your head. Glory to God. What happened to you? I stared at the Bible too long. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. He that has the Son of God has life. Wait a minute, I'm reading the wrong thing. Thank you. 1 John 3, is that what I said? Goodness, who wrote these notes? He that has committed sin is of the devil. Let's everybody confess. No. Is this in your Bible? He that has committed sin is of the devil. Don't put that on your confession list in the morning. But do you see what happened? Adam committed sin, and what did he become of? What part of his nature changed? Something happened in him. He became what? Of the devil. People don't like that when you poke them in the chest and say that, by the way. So, you are of the devil. Would it be true according to this scripture? Yes. That's not funny. What are you laughing at? Glory be to God. He that has committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. What have they done? They've joined themselves up with him and his party by sinning. This is why we have to keep that door closed. And I didn't like going to church because they keep telling me to stop sinning. Keep the door closed, and you won't. Nobody will have to anymore. Because what are you doing? You're of the devil. You're joining his team, right? What if we're playing basketball, and, you know, somebody hands you the ball, and you got to pass it down to your other teammate, and he's almost down there by the other basket, and you're like, he's open. And you're going to throw it as hard as you can, but you realize as soon as you pull back, everybody starts running that way because they know what you're going to do. So you decide, wait, there's a basket right here. This basket right here. Nobody's around anymore. I'm going to just take a shot. What are you doing? You're shooting at the wrong goal now. You just joined the other team. So decide what team you're on. Right, Jane? And stay there. This is the problem with some Christians. You don't know what team they're on. I'm going to sin. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to sin in church and go to church. Then I'm going to repent, and then I'm going to sin. It's like they're confused. Choose a side and stay on it. Recognize which basket you're. Look at the people with the colors. That's why they have different colors on their shirts, right? What are they, jerseys or something? Wouldn't that be confusing? Put them all out there in bright pink. and give them 4 or 5 balls. Just be a mess. That's the church for you. They don't know what team they're on. The devil sinned, and if you sin, you commit sin, you are of the devil. Right? Now, we understand that just because you committed a sin, it doesn't take away your salvation. Now you get to get born again. But the point is, you're on the wrong team. So stay on the right team. Brother, I know why people preach on sin, because it preaches. You can start spitting and yelling and jumping up and down and wailing your arms around, pounding on the pulpit. And it feels good the whole time. Hallelujah. He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from when? The beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, can you make this leap with me? What was the work of the devil? Getting people to commit sin. Then he could introduce all his other bags of garbage. Right? This is how he does it. This is how he does it with Christians. This is how he does it with marriages. This is how he does it with families. This is how he did it with you. Come on. Come on. Come commit some sin with me. Come over to the other side of the tracks. Why? So he can bring all of his other garbage in there. Mess up your head. Mess up your mind. Mess up your whole entire life if he could. But I got news for you. Guess what? You're all sitting here, right? Yeah. Who's not sitting here? Raise your hand. No. See, nobody. Every single one of you is sitting here. And guess what? The devil couldn't kill you. He couldn't do it. You think the devil wants to kill you? Bible says the devil comes to steal, kill, and then destroy. He's got it out of order, I think. He doesn't even know his order. I'm going to kill somebody and then destroy them. Wait a minute. He can't. You're sitting here. He's been trying to kill you for years. If he could, if he had the power to kill you, he would have. He would have done it this morning. He can't just suck the breath out of you. He can't. Something is restraining him. He's not as all-powerful as people would say he is. Oh, don't say that. The devil might get you. He might get you. He doesn't even know where I am half the time. You're getting him. Walk up behind him and go, boo, just scare him. He lives in fear. We don't live in fear. We've not been given the spirit of fear, but the power, love, and the sound. That should be the bit. You just put a big giant smile on your face. Guess what? I'm not dead. Because the devil can't kill me. Well, and if he couldn't kill you before, he's not going to kill you now. He can't do it. He wishes he could. That's what he's trying to do. What if you start listening to him and going down his trail? What's he going to do? He's going to try to pull you in, slip you around, put you in the wrong place, the wrong time. He doesn't have nearly as much power as he would like you to think he has. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. Was the Son of God manifested? That's past tense, right? He was manifested to do one thing, destroy the works of the devil. Now, do you think Jesus did this? Or did the devil kill him before his time? He was manifested to do something, to destroy the works of the devil. Do we know that Jesus finished his works? He said on the cross, he said, it is finished. What was finished? What he was manifested for was to destroy the works of the devil. So, hey, something we got to figure out is, what did he do that actually destroyed this thing, this work of the devil? I know, and it gets a lot bigger, and this is what we got to get faith in. The Bible says have faith in the blood. Have faith in the redemption, those things, and that's what preaching's all about, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and it's to the degree that you have faith in the substance of the blood that it will destroy the works of the devil in your life. Right? Are all the works of the devil destroyed right now in the world? In the world. Don't answer so fast, young lady. In the world. Just look out your window. You know, or turn on the TV. There's still works of the devil going on. Well, why haven't they been destroyed? I guess Jesus didn't destroy them then. He didn't finish his course. He finished his part of the course. Now you got a part to play. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. This purpose, he was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. Go over to Hebrews chapter 2. Glory be to God forever. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Part of the same what? He took part of flesh and blood. We'll see why this is necessary in a minute. Inasmuch as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had, past tense, had the power of death, that is, the devil. Why can't the devil kill you? He doesn't have the power of death anymore. People have to submit themselves to sin and stay there. Sin will kill you. Did you know that? Depending on the degree of sin. It will kill you. Sin is death. Incipient sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And the better you are at it, the more you get paid. I'm specialized, brother. Yes, and the specialists get paid better. Specialize in, you know, certain type of sin, what do you get paid? More death in that area. Wait a minute. Nobody told me that. Well, I'm telling you that. Righteousness pays dividends too, you know. You can specialize in that. Get paid dividends there. And those dividends come in life more abundantly. Jesus came that you might have what? Life more abundant. More abundantly than what? Than death. What would you have more life? I mean, if you have a certain amount of death in the world, well, you want a certain amount of life that's more abundant than that, right? And then you still got abundance. Brother, glory be to God. Did I read this? Hallelujah. The whole thing? That he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So, hello, people. Are you still here? He's delivering people that were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Did Jesus do this? With his flesh and blood sacrifice, through death, did he deliver people? Now, it might not be you or me walking in it yet, but did he, through what he did, deliver people from being even subject to bondage? According to the Word. So there's something about the broken body and something about the blood that will make you so that you're not even subject to it anymore. Is this good news? Do you want to walk in it? Because if you're going to walk in, you're going to pay the price to walk in. And the price is knowledge. The price is time. The price is coming into that intimate fellowship with the blood. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. Go with me to Leviticus real quickly. I wasn't going to go here, but I want you to see this. Leviticus 17:11. Jesus took what? Flesh. He likewise took part of the same. Flesh and blood. Look here in verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the what? blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. Mark that if you don't have it, Mark. Cut it out. Stick it on your forehead. Now go to Revelation. Brother, you're just making me flip all over the place here. Revelation 12, verse 11. They overcame him, who? The accuser of the brethren, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. How did they overcome the accuser? By the blood of the Lamb. Do you know a deficiency in your bank account is an accusation against you? Do you know a sickness in your body is an accusation against you? Who's bringing it? How do you get it in there? Either through a sin you committed or a sin that was already in the earth. He's trying to accuse you with it. It's a result of sin. You need to look at it as if it were sin. Why? Because that's the direct result. You'd be amazed at how many people, if you say, I believe that all sickness is of the devil. If you say that to them, they go, huh? Well, no, that can't be. If they haven't figured that out, then they don't have a way to resist it and stop it because it could be coming from something else. It's just our day and age. It's a sign of the times. It's the season. Any other excuse other than get this concretely solid in your mind that every sickness, every disease is a direct or indirect result of what the devil's doing. Then you can resist it, and it's an accusation against you that you are not righteous and that you are not in the blood and that you are not living the right way. You're gonna confront that accusation? Yes. What kind of answer do you have to it? Blood. Two words, the blood. Hallelujah. The blood. What did they do? How did they overcome him? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, they loved not their life unto death. Hallelujah. They overcame all of the accusations. Did you get that? The sickness is an accusation. I don't know if I got that through to you or not. But it's the devil trying to put something on you. He's accusing you of, hey, you're in the world. You're a man. You've sinned, right? Either from your own sin or from somebody else's sin, but there's sin in the world, and I can do this. I'm accusing you of being a sinner. This is why it's so important for people to get that sin mentality. I am no longer a sinner. I'm in the blood. The blood. Hallelujah. The blood cleanses me. The blood has cleansed me. Well, if I am cleansed, what, the blood didn't do a good enough job? I am free from sin, and I am free from all the effects of sin. Get away from me, Satan. Quit accusing me of stuff. Get these things off of me. How did they overcome him? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, which means they had to say something about it, didn't they? Because how many Christians do you know? The blood is just as much theirs as it is yours, but they refuse to say anything about it. If somebody's accusing you of something, stand up and say something about it. Get that sickness off of me, devil. The blood. Keep sin out of my head. Get the blood. Jesus is Lord. Go to Revelation chapter 7. Verse 14, and I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. These are they that were beaten down in the tribulation. These are they that couldn't even breathe. They were gasping for air because they were so pressed and crushed under sickness and disease and oppression and poverty and inflation and depression. They couldn't even move. No, these are they that overcame, right? They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. These are they which came out of the great tribulation. Great tribulation? It was great, man. You should have been there. If you're into that kind of thing, it was great. But they came out of it. You want to stay in it? Brother, I'm in great tribulation. Pray for me. Put me on the prayer chain. And then you got everybody saying, he's in great tribulation. Pray for Brother Ander. He is in great tribulation. Now you got everybody saying the wrong thing about you. Stay off of those prayer chains. My goodness. Don't put me on it. If you do, give me the wrong name. Then pray for somebody else. They came out of tribulation. They came out of great tribulation. How? Do you want to come out of great tribulation? You got any tribulation? Are you tribulating? Isn't that one of those things they put you on and get your heart started? A tribulator? No, that's a fibrillator. Yeah, I don't know. This guy's in great tribulation. Look at him. We need to get him out of it. What's the way? People, are you staying here? What is the way to get out of great tribulation? I'm in great tribulation. My credit cards, they're so piled up, I'm swimming in them. I got all kinds of sickness all over me. I'm tribulating. They came deeper and deeper into tribulation. You want to come out? Come out! You can come out of great tribulation. Right? He could have just said, we tribulation. He came out of we tribulation by the blood, because the blood was only powerful enough to get him out of a we tribulation. You getting this? These are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Glory be to God forever. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Jesus is Lord. Hebrews chapter 11. You ever been there before? Through faith, he, Moses, kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Why did they keep the Passover? God gave them foreknowledge and said, guess what? If you don't keep the Passover, there's something coming on this very evening, a plague of terrible sorts. A tribulation, you could say. And it is coming. Ooh. But he told them what to do. He said to eat the lamb and eat the whole thing. And if you can't eat it all, invite some other family over and you can share it together, but eat it all. And then he said, take the blood and put it on the doorpost of your house so that when the destroyer, everybody say the destroyer, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy? So when the devil comes and he's going to try to kill somebody, who could he kill? Who did he kill? He killed everybody that he could, or at least the firstborn, right? Which was the only place he could, because that's all he had license to do. But he went to do it, and he could not kill the ones who had the blood over the door. Did you read that? Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. Everybody say sprinkling of blood. What does that mean? It means somebody sprinkled it. What if somebody didn't sprinkle it?
Well, we got the blood. We ate the lamb.
Somebody had to take the blood and apply it to their doorpost, which signified their house. Are you applying the blood to your house? Yes. And what would your own physical house be? Your physical body. We see that? We can apply, sprinkle. Sprinkle the blood on your house. And how did they overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. I realize you could go on message after message on this. But this is how we apply it, is with our words. We sprinkle it with our words by speaking the blood. Apply it to your house. Your physical house. And the house you live in. Apply it to everything you have. Why? And then the destroyer can't destroy it. He can't. He kept the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. He can't touch you if you sprinkle the blood. Can't touch you. Can't touch me. Can't touch this. Can't touch this. What can't he touch? You think he wants to touch the blood? Is it you? What is it? He couldn't come in the house. He went in everybody else's house. Same kind of door. Back then, they probably had what? Leather hinges? I don't know. He couldn't figure out how to get in the Israelites' house. What kept him out?
These special locks?
No, it was the blood. He saw the blood, could not touch them. What do you think he sees about you that he can't touch you, can't kill you? He wants to, but he can't. He can't touch you because why? The blood. That's what he sees. He's got to be completely paranoid and freaked out. Because every day there's more people coming into the blood. Every day. And all he's got, the only way he can get you is to get you outside of that. To get you back into sin. To get you walking outside of your covenant with God in the blood. But if you don't do it, he can't touch you. Can't touch this. Everybody say, can't touch this. Why can't he touch this? Because of the blood. The blood. The blood. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Go over Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. But you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. How many are there?
I don't know, they're innumerable.
To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to the God and judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. What do you think is talking to the devil when he gets too close to you and he's trying to touch you? Trying to touch you, trying to touch you. What's speaking to him? Says the blood speaks. This blood is speaking to him. You may be just saying the blood and he's freaking out because the blood's talking to him. You want the blood on your side? Hallelujah. That's your t-shirt, by the way, or your jersey. You're on the blood team. Stay on that team. You win every time. Every time, every time, every time. Well, what if it looks like we're behind in the game? Tough. Our God's the one with the watch. He's the one who keeps the innings going until you win. He can't touch you, can't kill you. You're sitting here right now. Don't tell me he hasn't tried. Tried to kill me when I was 12. What a loser. I'm way over 12 now. I remember I was on a boat with my uncle, my grandfather, and a bunch of uncles down in Florida. Boats down there is like a houseboat, not as nice as yours. Those little flat things, and he would go out there. They like to sleep out there and then go fishing in the morning and stuff, and the water's nice. You know, every time they go down there in the morning, they would have to clean all the snakes off that thing. Big old water snakes would be all coiled up because they get up on the boat to try to stay warm as long as they can. And they don't want to go back in the water. It's cold. Comparatively. So my cousins and all, you know, they go down there and want to sleep on the boat, and they'd invariably be sleeping up on top of it because you'd see those snakes slithering up over the side. Who could sleep with that? I don't know. So we're out on this boat. It's a nice, beautiful day, and here we are, tugging along. My grandfather shuts the motor off, and he says, if anybody falls off the boat, the first thing I want you to do is hit this button over here. It'll kill the motor. Because, you know, you're chugging along. Somebody falls off the front of the boat. They're heading where? Back to where the motors are. And that's not good. So he says, hit this button, kill the motor. Well, I'm sitting up on front, so we're going along, you know, drinking our tea or whatever. I don't think we drank tea back then. It's a long time ago. That's before tea was invented, by the way. So we're chugging along, chug, 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 beautiful day. I'm leaning back in my lawn chair. Duh. And all of a sudden, you know, my dad and my mom are there talking and all the other people talking. They're like, where's Andrew? Well, Andrew had fallen off the boat in his stupid lawn chair and went under. Bloop, 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 bloop. And I'm, you know, pretty young. So the first thing he goes, killed the motor, right? And my dad, he jumps in with his glasses on, his wallet. These are things I remember. You don't remember a whole lot of stuff like that. But one thing I do remember is I was having a great time. Because I was under the boat, and I was blue, 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 blue. You know, you drink enough water. Hey, this is great. I'm like a fish. But I remember looking up and seeing this angel standing there, white and glistening. So I'm just kind of looking at the angel, man. This angel just kind of up above me. I was as peaceful as could be. Everybody else was freaking out, but I'm just as fine and as peaceful as could be. And they say that my hand just kind of went, whoop, right up behind the back of the boat, you know, where the motor is. There's a little gap there. My hand went up like that. They pulled me up out. And my sister Peter Pants. I don't know why I'm saying that. Well, yeah, I do. Why? Devil tried to kill me. Probably tried to kill you. He couldn't do it. That's all he had. Not dead yet. He should have killed me before I got here this morning. Let's start talking about the blood and how that he can't touch this. He can't touch this. Brother, you're freaking me out. What if the devil hears you talk like, he can't. He can't touch this. And you know what's speaking to him? The blood. Stay in the blood and the blood will talk right back to him. Blood talks smack. He's like, bring it on, bring it on. Couldn't do it before. Try it again. So we'll call this the blood talking smack. Stay in the blood, though. I'm serious. You get up there and you start becoming a, you know, an evil terror to his kingdom, which he's already lost. And what does he care so much about it for? He's just give up. What do you know? You think he'd just give up, but he won't. He's holding on to all he's probably so self-deluded that he still thinks he can win. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Where do we leave off here? Look at this. And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. The new covenant's better than the old covenant. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Glory be to God. This blood is speaking. So what's the best thing to do if God's saying something? Listen and then say the same thing. So if we can learn how to say the same thing that the blood is saying, is that a little bit better? How did they overcome? They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So you can start talking smack. Start talking the same thing. Right? Can't touch this. You cannot kill me. Brother, that scares me to say it. Stop that. He wants you to be scared of that. Jesus delivered those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. They were subject to it. You're no longer subject to it. I can tell you, if you can get over the fear of death, you're not subject to any type of bondage. What are you going to do, kill me? You're not subject to it anymore. You can't touch this. Start to learn this, you realize you aren't even subject to sickness and disease. You're not even subject to sin anymore. Has anyone experienced that at all? There's certain things you're like, you look at it, you go, well, I used to think about that, but now I don't do it anymore. And it's not even attractive to me anymore. Right? It's like, I'm not subject to it anymore. How did that happen? The blood. The blood's been speaking. Hallelujah. You guys are getting this. That excites me. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. They kept the Passover. Go to Colossians 1:13. Now, how did Jesus say that he got people delivered? Remember, it says he was anointed to do what? Preach deliverance to the captives. So he was preaching the word, and the word was anointed. And that anointed word did what? It delivered the captives. This type of a message this morning is causing faith in the blood to come. It's the same word that he would say. It's his blood, and that's why when you start speaking the blood and saying the same thing that the blood says, you're speaking deliverance. Colossians 1:13. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We have redemption through what? Through his blood. We've been translated from the power or authority of darkness, translated into the kingdom of his dear Son through what? Through the blood. It's a blood door that you walk through, and as soon as you walk through it, you're on the other side of it. And now, guess what kingdom you're in? You're in the kingdom of light. You are a light creature in that kingdom covered with blood. This will freak a lot of people out. But not you. Hallelujah. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, has translated me into the kingdom of his dear Son. Everybody say, he has delivered me from the power of darkness and has translated me into the kingdom of his dear Son. I have redemption through his blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. You have it through his blood. People can get, if they will hear this and understand it with their heart, it will set them free. From what? From all the power of darkness. It says you have been delivered from the power of darkness. Have been translated into the kingdom. Through what? Through the blood. Has redeemed us. Go right over a little bit to Colossians 1:20. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him the blood, to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in the earth or things in heaven. What did he reconcile to himself? All things in heaven. Mean all things in the earth? What's in the earth? Now, if somebody's sick, are they reconciled to God in that part of their life? Is that part of their life, their physical body that's sick, has it been reconciled to God? In the earth, has it? In the present tense. It hasn't in the present tense. But they need to get it reconciled to God. When it's reconciled, it's already been paid for, but it needs to be reconciled. Right? If I've already paid for it, then there's got to be a time when I come and take it. Look at this. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him, the blood, to reconcile all things. All things. Could be your head, could be your money, could be your body. He's reconciling all things to himself. By what? By the blood. The blood. And when it's reconciled, can't touch this. The devil can't touch it anymore. It's been reconciled. From what kingdom? From the kingdom of darkness, translated, reconciled into the kingdom of his dear Son through that same wall, through that same door, the blood. Glory be to God forever. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled. Where did it say you were an enemy? In your mind. You weren't even thinking straight. He says he has reconciled you with what? The blood in your mind. Is that good news? Does the blood have any reconciling power in your mind and over your mind? Oh, yeah. Brother, you mean to say, where do you think the devil's playground is? It would say the devil's playground is what? Your mind. He's got to fit you to think about doing something before you do it. So he's going to put the thought in there. What if you could be not even subject to that anymore? I'm not even subject to those thoughts anymore. Would that be good? What could do that? The blood. You're telling me the blood can actually reconcile my thought processes to the point where I'm not even subject to thinking about sin anymore? Boy, this is a radical church. Is your mind in the earth? No, mine's in heaven. Mine is in heaven. Where's your mind? It's in you. It's in your head. Your head is in the earth, right? Your head's in the cloud. No, my head's right here. Which means, look at this, reconcile all things. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, whether they be things in the earth or things in heaven, and you, earth and heaven and you. What else is there? He's reconciling all things, earth, heaven, and you. And then he goes on to qualify, well, and that includes your mind. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, now has he reconciled. He reconciled your mind through the same blood. Are you thinking a dirty thought? No. Why? Because the blood cleanses my mind. I'm not even subject to thinking dirty thoughts anymore. Clean thoughts all the time. Wouldn't that be good, Jane, in the earth today? We got people like drones. All they do is all the imagination and thought of their mind. Remember this back before Noah came? Said every imagination and thought in their head was unclean. You can see it on people's faces. Walking out in the store or whatever, and they're just walking around. Everything they think is just evil and stinky. Have you noticed this? Maybe you haven't noticed it. And you're wondering, man, what am I surrounded by, a bunch of perverts or something? What's going on here? It's because their mind is just, it's been warped and it's going in the wrong direction. That's what the devil did before Noah came. And God said, I don't have enough. I can't stand these people. So he wiped them out. Well, how did he wipe it out this time? Through the blood to reconcile all things. And this time he's not going to just wipe them out. He's just going to cleanse them up. Cleanse your mind to where it just doesn't think that way anymore. I just don't think that way anymore. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. You that were sometimes alienated enemies in your mind. It says you were by wicked works. Now has he reconciled. Glory be to God forever. Shoo, go back to Hebrews chapter 9. We're getting there. What are we talking about? We're talking about destroying the works of the devil. One of his masterworks. If you could go to the devil's, what do they call it? Art exhibit. His masterwork would be Criminal Minds. We have shows about criminal minds. It's probably the name of a show, isn't it? Oh, and I like to study the criminal mind. I like to become one of them and think about them, how they work and twist it and blah. And they do this, and they watch, and they feed it into themselves all the time, and their mind gets what? They start to think. Now, the way to catch a criminal is to think like one. Right? Hallelujah. But this is, you know, you don't want to think like a criminal. The Bible says to be innocent. Harmless as a dove. Right? In my mind. Glory be to God forever. Where was I reading? Somebody help me. Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. It's temporary. Temporary redemption. Till the time where he comes and wipes us out again. Now, eternal redemption. See, then this is what the blood of calves and bulls could do. But what the precious blood of Jesus can do, it can come on your mind and make it so it's not even subject to any of that junk anymore. Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm not even subject. Everybody say, I'm not even subject,
not even subject
to that junk,
anymore.
Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once to the holy place. Now, how did Jesus enter into this holy place? With his own blood. Now, that's a trip, right? How are you going to enter in? With his own blood, the same blood, same way. Aren't you glad you're not going up there with blood of bulls and goats? The devil's trying to bring something at you, and you got blood of bulls. And it worked on the destroyer, didn't it? He couldn't come in because you had the blood of bulls and goats back then. But now you've got some. Do you think he can touch that? Do you think he can come against that? He can't. To the millionth degree or an infinite degree, he can't. He entered in to the holy place, having attained eternal redemption for us. He entered in through his own blood to what? The holy place. Where do we enter in? To the unholy place? No, we enter into a holy place. Sanctified, set apart. Set apart from what? Sin and all the fruit thereof. Can't touch this. Into the holy place. Obtaining eternal redemption for us. Eternal redemption. Never ending. Never stops. What about next year when the pig swine flu? The blood, that's right. It's eternal. It doesn't stop. Eternal redemption. That's good news. Right? So if it's eternal redemption, what are you eternally redeemed from? All the effects and fruit of sin. Eternally. What about the bird flu? Sorry. Eternally redeemed from bird flus. Or any other kind of flu. Or a floozy. Flu A through Z. Redeemed. Hallelujah. Go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. We're getting down there, people. Almost done. Hang with me a little bit longer. Can't touch me. Can't touch it. Why? Because I'm in the blood. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins for a week. No, forever. Do you know what forever means? That's a long time. Longer than you got to worry about. Offered one sacrifice for sins forever. What was the sacrifice he offered people for sins? It was the blood. Has it been offered?
Yes.
Have you received it?
Yes.
Then the devil can't touch you. And you need to agree with that with your words. They overcame by the blood and the word of your testimony. Right? The blood's already talking. He's already talking. Now, when you get to agreement with it, then he's got nothing. You aren't even subject to it anymore as soon as you start talking. One sacrifice for sins forever sat down on the right hand of God. What's Jesus doing now?
Ooh, he's sitting.
Now, remember, we started this talking about, did his sacrifice actually do the things he said? Destroy the works of the devil.
deliver them who were all their lifetime subject to bondage through the fear of death? Did he destroy him that had the power of death?
Yes.
He did do that. If he didn't, he didn't fulfill his job. Well, he must have, because he sat down. What's he sitting down for? He better come back and destroy some more. No, he already did it. One sacrifice for sins forever, sat down. Must be done.
Hey, he's sitting down. Nice. Must be over.
Still here.
Yes.
Verse 13. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. What's Jesus doing now? He's sitting there, henceforth, expecting that his enemies are made his footstool. Who's doing this? Jesus is doing this. He's expecting his enemy. How could he do that? Is he deluded?
No.
He did something. He paid with the blood. He put the blood on the altar. He entered in once to the holy place. Now he's expecting by what he just did that all of his enemies are made his footstool. The problem is the church hasn't been expecting the same thing. They haven't been in agreement with their testimony, the word of their testimony. The blood's been there talking smack the whole time. But then the people talk the opposite thing. Devil comes up, tries to put sickness on you, and the blood's like, you can't put sickness on him. You can't put sickness on him. He's been redeemed, eternally redeemed from all sickness and sin and the effects thereof. But then I come along and go, well, it must be the season for the flu. Flu season. Achoo. See? I knew it. I feel it coming on now. It's coming on. It's coming on. Get me on the prayer chain.
Yes, Brother Andrew, he's got the flu. Pray for him. It's flu season.
What am I talking? Am I sticking with the blood and the word of my testimony, saying the same thing that the blood has said, that I'm eternally redeemed from all sin and all the effects thereof? Bad smack? No, I'm on the opposite team now. I'm shooting baskets in the other guy's hoop. Look, his score's going up. This man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting his enemies to be made his footstool. Stay in agreement with the blood. Keep your words in agreement with the blood, that you can't touch me, and expect that that enemy is made your footstool. By the way, your feet are the body of Christ's feet. You will crush the serpent under your foot. But it's in the blood. It's in the blood that we do that. We crush the enemy with the blood. Hallelujah. What if you don't expect your enemy to be made a footstool? What is that? What is expecting? It's faith. He believes in it. He has faith in the work that he did with the blood that he shed. He has faith that it is going to eternally redeem all of heaven and all of earth. But his people haven't been doing that.
Well, they don't amount to blood. I don't know if it has enough power to redeem me from that.
Are you kidding me? Meditate on it. See that this blood, and expect it when you pray. Expect it when you sprinkle. Especially when you speak loud, you sprinkle. You people here? What do you expect when you plead the blood of Jesus over that thing that's been bugging you? That it's going
to
be made your footstool. It's going to bow its knee. I expect it.
Yes.
Rather, you're talking smack. Yeah. Yeah. Talking the same thing that the blood is speaking. That's right. Keep it straight. Devil try to swerve you off of it.
Well, what if you got an airplane that crashed?
Then I live. And I go, woo, that was a blast. Sign me up again. Can't touch this.
Yes, hallelujah.
Now, that doesn't mean you need to go and lick the counter at the grocery store. You're being stupid. Right? But you can't touch this. Why would you say that? Because that's what the blood's saying, and you're just lining your words with his, and you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, and expect that thing to bow its knee. Expect it. I expect it. I expect nothing less than pure minds. All of you having a purified mind is like gleaming squeaky. You come in the room and we hear a squeak. What's that? I'm thinking clean thoughts. From henceforth expecting. Does he expect you to do anything less? This is what he's expecting you to do. You're his body. You're the one in the earth. You're the one walking around with the name of Jesus and the blood. He's expecting this thing to be put under your foot. Hallelujah. And so am I. I'm expecting it.
Well, I don't know if I can expect it. I've said the blood once. I said, get off of me. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus.
Oh, you are terrifying. My goodness. All the demons in hell are scared of you. Well, you know, they really are, but you're just not portraying yourself the way you should be. You keep giving off your cover. Remember, they were clothed in what? Robes dipped in the blood. A robe is who you are, especially in that day. Okay? In our day, we can't tell, you know, but what a person looks like, you don't always know. But in that day, the robe you wore meant who you were. But that's what, you know, you understand, that's the language he's saying. Their robe was white. It was washed in the blood. It's who they are. Now, who was he seeing in the vision? He was seeing somebody. The robe was washed in the blood. That's what the devil sees in you. He doesn't see you. As nice as you look, he sees the blood. And until you come out from behind it and go, really, no, it's not the blood. Really, I am. I'll take a flu season. Right here. Oh, he's like, oh. This happens a lot in the body of Christ. I'd see these blood creatures come in, and then all of a sudden they start talking the wrong thing. So I can get in there. Does this make sense? Don't talk anything but what the blood's talking, and you're never outside of your covering, and he can't get in. He doesn't know who it is. He just freaked out. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now I can preach a whole message on this. I've actually done it. How was Jesus raised from the dead? It was through the blood of the everlasting covenant. That blood spoke better things than that of Abel. Did the blood die? The life was in the blood. The blood never died. But the blood spoke, and Jesus was raised from the dead. Look what he says here. The God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Verse 21. Make you perfect. What's going to make you perfect? The blood. The blood makes me perfect. Make you perfect to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. How are you going to do his will? Through the blood. How are you going to become perfect? Through the blood. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Bible, if you don't mind. Just because I liked it so much. Now may the God of peace, the author and giver of peace, who brought again from among the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood that sealed the everlasting agreement. Verse 21, strengthen. How are you going to be strengthened? Through the blood. Complete. How are you going to be completed? Through the blood. Perfect. Make you what you ought to be. What ought you to be? Whatever's in the blood. That's what you ought to be. Hallelujah. Make you what you ought to be. and equip you with everything good, that you may carry out his will. What's going to equip you with everything good? The blood. It's redeemed you. It's washed you. It's made you what you ought to be. It's perfected you. While he himself works in you and accomplishes that which is pleasing in his sight. Hallelujah. All this happens where? On the other side of that blood. Well, we're going to plead the blood here this morning, and we're going to take our stand inside the blood. And guess what? The devil can't touch us. And stop giving yourself away by saying something outside. Blood speaking one thing, you say the same thing or don't say anything at all. Glory be to God. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your glory that's in this word. Right now, we receive the blood of Jesus on areas of our life that we might not have received them on before. We receive the blood of Jesus on our minds and on our thought lives. We receive the blood of Jesus on our head and on our hair and all over our skin and all the way down to the bottom of our feet. We receive the blood of Jesus. We thank you that we are now cleansed from all sin, from all the works of the devil. Our bodies are redeemed. Our minds are redeemed. Our thoughts are redeemed. And we're cleansed and forgiven from all sin, and we stand in righteousness and holiness before you. And right now, from this moment on, we expect that every one of your enemies is made our footstool. Sickness is our footstool. Poverty is our footstool. Lack, oppression is our footstool. Unclean minds, those are our footstool. We walk above all these things by the power of the blood. In Jesus' name, amen.